First, though, to the rural news of the week and a special focus on the freshly minted free trade deal with China and what that means for Australia's farmers and agribusiness. Good morning, Kath McAloon.
Good morning, Edwina.
It's been the big news this week. We want to devote a little bit of time to it. What has actually sort of been the reaction, I suppose, in rural Australia?
Yeah, well, this was highly anticipated by the farm sector, and I think it's fair to say that most in the industry are delighted. Tariffs on dairy, beef, sheep meat, horticultural products like fruit and veggies, wine, sorghum, barley, and then meat products too, like live cattle, as well as a wide range of seafood, are all going to be phased out. For the wool sector, there'll be an Australian-only duty-free quota on wool, and tariffs as well on some processed foods like fruit juice and honey will also be phased out. So some really wide-ranging industries that are likely to see a benefit to their business. Trade Minister Andrew Robb says this agreement won't mean that local prices for Australian food will go up.
I think what it'll do, it will lead to a lot of investment, a lot more market opportunities at a higher price. That'll feed into innovation in Australia, which will increase production, but also lower costs. So it's only good news, and especially good news for jobs, because it will mean tens of billions of dollars over the next 10 years coming into our economy that otherwise wouldn't have.
Of course, it's hard to make everybody happy, so who's missed out?
Yeah, while dairy and beef are thought to be the biggest winners for agriculture, there'll be no tariff reductions on sugar, rice, cotton, wheat, maize or canola. And the Federal Agriculture Minister admits that he's disappointed with the lack of results for these industries in this agreement that's been struck with China. Minister Barnaby Joyce says it's the reality of free trade deals.
Yeah, of course I'm disappointed, and having been a senator for Queensland, I'm very aware of the sugar industry. But when you get to the end of a deal, they basically say, but this is it. If you don't like it, well, here's another option. We'll just have a ceremony where I'll say you're a nice person, you say I'm a nice person, but we won't have a deal. We lose everything else off the table.
And the opposition has sort of cautiously welcomed this as well. There's been talk of finalising a free trade agreement with India by the end of next year. And Shadow Minister, Agriculture Minister Joel Fitzgibbon says he's pleased with this China deal, but he is concerned that the government is moving too fast.
Australia has limited land, water and people resources, and our output is somewhat constrained by those resources. It's all right to have great access to markets, but you need to be able to provide the goods and to compete. And what is really lacking in Australia is a long-term strategic plan to capitalise on the dining boom and to deal with issues like drought.
Well, it has been rather a whirlwind of a year for trade deals. We've got China, Japan and South Korea. Who's next?
Yeah, good question. Andrew Robb, the Trade Minister, is sort of being lauded for getting the trade trifecta this year, and it has been something of an achievement. But the ink was barely dry on this latest declaration of intent that's been signed between Australia and China when Trade Minister Robb started flagging a possible similar agreement with India and also with Indonesia. Mr. Robb says that negotiations on an agreement with India have already begun, while the National Farmers Federation has had its heart set on the next big deal being done with Indonesia. Well, the Agriculture Minister, Barnaby Joyce, says it's dangerous to pick favourites.
You don't start telling people which child you love the most. That's never a good outcome. India is a growing market and shows great potential. I suppose one of the big ones is you've got a large vegetarian population because of the religion. Faba beans, navy beans, mung beans, pigeon peas, chickpeas. There's a huge marketplace in India as they progress to the middle class. But you've got to remember, India is a bit of a different kettle of fish because they're a net food exporter. But with a population of around about 1.2 billion people, they're a major market for us. I'll tell you another area where they're interested, and I was with Prime Minister Narendra Modi the other day, is some of our technical expertise, agricultural robotics, spray rigs, plant pathology expertise.
And of course, our federal independent MP, Cathy McGowan, has had some experience in dealing with India and that technical expertise. What was her view?
Yeah, she had an interesting take on this. She sort of agrees with Barnaby Joyce, saying that India is likely to be interested in those sort of, you know, agricultural research, technology and services. And she says they could prove more lucrative, perhaps, than some of our farm exports. They already buy chickpeas and almonds and wool, but she thinks that interest in scientific research may be more more interest to the Indian country in any free trade deal with Australia. But she's warning that the government's cuts to scientific research, we've seen cuts at the CSIRO as well as cuts at cooperative research centres, and she says that this may mean Australia won't be able to meet that demand.
My sense is that they're not yet ready or wanting to import lots of food from us. But what they're particularly interested in is the things that we're really good at doing. How do you manage drought? The great research we've done on climate change. It's in our education, agricultural services, it's in our technology, and it's in some of the fantastic work that the CRCs have been doing.
Now, returning to the China deal specifically, what has been the industry response?
Well, the dairy industry has been particularly delighted. They very much wanted a better deal than their competitors in New Zealand, whose own dairy exports to China have absolutely boomed since they signed a free trade agreement with China about 8 years ago now. Many in the dairy sector say they've got what they wanted, that better deal than New Zealand. Well, Judith Swales is in an interesting place to comment on this. She's from dairy giant Fonterra, which of course is a big New Zealand company, but also has processing factories and takes milk from Australia, so sort of across both countries. And she says her company has the experience in getting the most out of free trade agreements.
The advantage for Fonterra Australia and for the farmers and our customers is that we can leverage on that expertise and that experience that Fonterra New Zealand has built up since they signed their FTA back in 2008. And if you look at analysis recently from Rabobank, they estimate that there will be within the next few years a supply gap of 10 billion litres in China of milk, or the equivalent of 10 billion litres. So this isn't about Australia competing with New Zealand. There is plenty of demand and more demand coming down the pipeline from China. You know, and put this in perspective, Australia in its entirety doesn't produce 10 billion litres of milk. So that's the size of the gap.
Some very big numbers also being talked about when it comes to the meat industry.
Yeah, with tariffs on beef, lamb and goats, plus hides and skins of animals to fall to zero by 2024, the industry is expecting it could be worth $11 billion over the next 15 years for their industry. David Larkin is from the processor Atron Enterprises, and he headed up the Free Trade Meat Task Force.
For Australian red meat and livestock industry, it's the biggest thing in 200 years. China's a very, very important trading partner for both beef and sheep meat, and in particular co-products, hides, skins, offals. The reality is that for every kilo of meat we produce, we're going to have two or three buyers. And whilst I know that livestock prices have been tough with so many cattle coming forward in the drought, the demand that we've experienced in the last couple of years has really underpinned the ability for us to have some record exports. So, you know, by having a cheaper product or a slightly cheaper product on the supermarket shelf means we'll be able to keep that demand in place for the longer term.
And, of course, wine is another area that we're doing reasonably well in now, but we'll have to work a bit hard to make the most of this FTA.
The interesting thing is China is already Australia's third largest and fastest growing market for bottled wine. But the Winemakers Federation Chief Executive Paul Evans says that there's now lots of potential for growth in the bulk wine market.
Well, at the moment, only 9% of the wine that we send into China is in a bulk format. And, of course, that commercial end of the market is very price sensitive. So you would imagine that a reduction in the tariff barriers that we face will have a very positive impact on that bulk wine segment. The potential of how much value we can derive from this announcement is really now back in the hands of industry. We need to do that as individual wine businesses, but also the category level promotion of Brand Australia in these key markets is also critically important. We don't believe that our statutory authority, the Australian Grape and Wine Authority, which is in charge of our marketing, has the funds required to really compete with other countries.
And horticulture also pretty happy.
Yeah, Australian fruit is particularly popular in Asian markets, including in China. And China buys a lot of cherries from Tasmania. Tasmanian cherry grower Tim Reed believes that this free trade deal will have an immediate effect.
Well, I think as a total, Tasmania exported about 150 tonnes of cherries into China last year, which is insignificant when compared to the total production and export of cherries around the world. But I think this year we could easily see that double or maybe even treble.
Pretty comprehensive report there, Kath.
Lots to be happy about.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Thanks, Edwina.
Kath McAloon with the week's Rural News. Rural Reporter is next.